The new Republican majority in the Senate will no doubt have something to say about your tax bill. Additional tax cuts are high on the GOP agenda for the new Congress, and Democrats will have to work harder to make their objections heard, as NPR's Scott Horsley reports.
The last time Republicans controlled the Senate, just before Vermont's James Jeffert became an independent, they passed a $1.3 trillion tax cut. But that measure is due to expire in 2011. And now that the GOP is back in control of the Senate, President Bush wants to go further and make the tax cut permanent.
Tax relief or tax reform, however you want to describe it, is part of my judgment of creating economic vitality.
Moving a tax cut through the Senate will be easier now than it would have been had Democrats retained control of the chamber. Democrats generally criticize the tax cut, which gives the wealthiest 1% of Americans at least 40% of the benefits. With their new majority, Republicans will control the Senate's calendar and committees. And senior economist Dan Mitchell of the Heritage Foundation says there's more than just arithmetic at work.
I think we saw in the midterm elections that there is zero political benefit to either Republicans or Democrats for being against tax relief and tax reform for the American people. And so I think Republicans will not only come back with greater numbers in the next Congress, but they'll also come back with a greater degree of confidence that cutting taxes and making government smaller is a winning political formula.
Even so, a permanent tax cut is no slam dunk. Under Senate budget rules, passing such a cut takes 60 votes. The Republicans will have only 51 or 52. There's no telling whether enough Democrats might break party ranks to pass a permanent tax cut. A dozen Democrats did vote for the 10-year reduction, but the party might take a tougher stance in the wake of its midterm losses. An easier task for Republicans would be to accelerate to next year the tax cuts already scheduled to take effect in 2004 and 2006. That requires only a simple majority. And Mitchell says it would help put money in the hands of consumers.
That, of course, is something that the Bush administration should want to do, if for nothing else, political reasons. I would assume they want to win election in 2004, so the last thing they should want is tax cuts that take effect after then.
The business community is also lobbying for tax breaks. Executive Vice President Bruce Johnston of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce wants to see new tax incentives for companies that make capital investments.
The missing element in the entire economy for a year has, in fact, been capital expenditures by business as they've pulled back. So we need to get business to spend some money and purchase tools and equipment and software and hardware.
Such business tax cuts often enjoy bipartisan support. Similar cuts were already approved in the current Congress. Up until now, Republicans have had less luck advancing tax cuts for investors. Senior fellow Bill Gale of the Brookings Institution says the election results could revive some of those proposals, such as cutting dividend taxes, expanding the deduction for capital losses, and increasing limits on tax-free retirement savings.
I think you very well could see some of that. By the way, I think all these things would be bad policy, but we're talking likely political outcomes. I think you could well see that. I think it would have a lot more political legs.
Of course, any tax cuts have the potential to worsen the federal budget deficit, which was $159 billion last year. The incoming chairman of the Senate Budget Committee, Don Nichols, is said to be less hawkish on deficits than the last Republican in the job, Pete Domenici, but red ink may still impose some limits on how far the tax cutting goes. Whatever the final outcome, this week's election results promise tax cuts will get a full hearing in the coming year, and that debate could lead to even more sweeping changes in the overall tax code. Scott Horsley, NPR News.